Okay, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. Well, the first of two. I'm doing two today because I totally messed up on my emails. I'm so used to our calls being at 9 and 1 because they were this that way for a couple of years. I want to say at least 2, maybe 3 years, was it? Someone remind me. And now they're at the 9 and the 4. It's just a little bit of a glitch in my own brain to catch up, but I want to honor that mistake. So I'm going to hold two calls today, and I'll send both of them to the recording, so you'll be able to catch whichever one you missed if you want to get two sessions for the price of one. And that just feels good for me to do as well, because A, first of all, was my glitch, my mistake, and B, I feel like I have messed up a couple things with the last minute doggo email notice not going out to folks. So thank you for your patience and all of that. This summer season always feels like scheduling gets a little bit wonky in as well for whatever reason. Yeah. I feel like in fall, the rest of the year, there's a lot more structure, which keeps everything on track. And then as soon as we hit summer, sometimes things get a little wonky on my end. And not just mine, it feels like it's kind of in the ethers to an extent too. All right. Thank you for all the messages. I appreciate those. And feel free to keep them on coming. If there's anything else that you haven't already, let me know. For those of you who are listening to the recordings, please do know that you're welcome to send in information around what's up for you for these sessions. And I always love a little like sort of jot note form, and to keep it really concise. I'm gathering information from a bunch of areas. So yeah, the other session today, I just got a question in the chat feature, will be at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. So that'll be in 3 hours. So you're welcome to attend both live if you like. Yeah. All right. So we are heading into new houses. We're heading into houses 3 and 4. Now, houses 3 and 4, I'll probably end up saying a little bit of different things on both calls, but I'm going to talk to them from the body talk perspective, knowing that we can spend a lot of time on the houses in different astrological readings and pursuits and studies. And there's going to be different information in different places. So we're going to experience and hear different things through different lenses. And the body talk lens is the one that I'm going to primarily be sticking to. And it tends to have a more simplistic view, tends to have things simplistic because it also has a lot of connections that it makes to not just the astrological sign, but to the organ, the meridian. Amongst the different planetary energies that are naturally associated here as well, we have things like it's working with parts of the body a little bit more than others. And this is referred to houses 3 and 4 in the personal realm, in connection to our legs. So the third house in particular goes to our yang leg. The yang leg would be our right leg. It's the leg that we step forward and take action with. Whereas the fourth house, which is that of the spleen meridian, connects to the yin leg, which would be the left leg. It's often the one that is thought to provide a little bit more of a connection to deep nourishment and stillness. So it's the leg that we want to, if we need to, like have like Tadasana, mountain pose, and yoga, would draw on the energy of the yin and the stillness component to it. Stillness sometimes is a misnomer for what it really means, or better put, we have a misunderstanding of what we think that that word means. It's not really misnamed. We just think that it means passive a lot, and it actually has a tremendous active quality within it. So there's a lot of activity that happens. So these two, the yin and the yang, both legs will work together, and obviously we use both to move forward, and we use both to hold still. For an energetic consciousness, that would just be the jobs that sometimes associated more with one than the other. Okay, let me back up. Let's talk about house number 3 to start with. House number 3 is considered to be in association with the air sign of Gemini. It works with the intellect, and it works with having intellectual communication, which sometimes can have a nervous energy component to it. And I feel like that's sort of even what's channeling in my own system right now. There's a sense of like, say all the things, get it all right, get it all out. And then, of course, there's the invariable tripping over our words or having a feeling of, did I say everything I wanted to say in the way that I wanted to say it? So That can be the realm of the third house. The third house is particularly connected to expression, to mental activity, and to having your left brain develop in a way that allows for your information to come through and not necessarily dominate, but also not necessarily be insecure or submissive, but being able to effectively communicate what your left brain knows and have it be welcomed and accepted. When we look at the organ, the stomach, and its meridian, it's most active between 7 to 9 p.m. and it works with our digestion of our world through the conscious mind to help assimilate our events and what we've gone through. The planetary energy that naturally hangs out here is that of Mercury, works with intellectual curiosity and communication, which can sometimes be off. So we might create separation through our ideas. Pretty easy to see that in our world. There's a divisiveness in our ideas and how we think about things. We don't have to look very far in our man-made systems to see how thoughts have created divisions within, well, anything really in life, whether that's our culture, our family units, our religions, our ideas around healthcare, our ideas of how we should raise kids, and like any aspect of life, the food that we should eat, how we should move our body. There's lots of different ideas out there, and they're often used in ways that create division versus unity. Okay? And the left brain interpretations can also be misinterpreted, meaning that we're not accurately being portrayed or not accurately being understood because of the backlog of our own thought processes and their own thought processes. And the lack of that being clearly expressed and clearly received because of our own conditioned responses in terms of how we think about things. It's like it creates this, I just keep seeing the image of fuzziness, of levels of confusion. Because anytime we have to change our thinking about things, we go through like this pause and we go through this like, and it's like our minds need a minute to unravel the old ways before we can find a new way to gravitate towards something. How is it we're stomaching these things reflects on how malleable and how healthy our third house is, and how malleable and healthy our stomach is. Let's head into the fourth house. It's more connected to the water signs, and in particular, this is the water sign of Cancer. Water signs are known from the realm of the emotional realm. And Cancer is also emotional. It's also very protective. It's the crab, and it wants particularly for us to be protected at a domestic level. So, how is it we feel safe within ourselves in our ways of interacting with, before we even think about interacting with the world, how is it we interact with those that are immediately in our environments around us? So, it works with our environment, and it works with the home environment. So there's no small amounts of material to potentially be met here. The spleen meridian works at the subconscious mind level, which holds a lot more information than the conscious mind that was in the third house. It's connected to all of our collective habits and all of our active memory holdings. So there's a lot of energy here. This is what keeps body talkers in business, quite frankly. This is what keeps those that are helping out in the mental emotional realm in any way, which form in business. Your spleen meridian and your fourth house energy together create the way that we bring all of our identities together. How do we consolidate the different masks, the different roles, different archetypes that we live life through in a way that gives us a layer of protection? So that we, when we interface with the world, which we'll get into in the houses 5 through 8, we can actually feel safe enough to be amongst that. And we can feel like we have the planetary energy that hangs out here is the moon. So we have a sense of being able to be loved through the maternal realm without it necessarily being like the heat of the sun. This is the cool, nurturing essence of moonlight. There's only certain things that can grow in the light of the moon. There's certain plants that only grow through the light of the moon. If this is not so healthy here, we might feel like there's emotional insecurities. We might be prone to habits or instincts that are backfiring, that are no longer serving us. and we might be again prone to misinterpretations. So our subconscious personality is stored here. Okay. And the iceberg analogy is often used, the tip of the iceberg being our conscious mind, the part of the iceberg that's submerged below being the subconscious. There's a lot more down there than is up here. Between houses 3 and 4, we're working with the totality of the iceberg. Yeah. So no small thing. No small thing. All right, gang. So that is the Cole's Notes quick version of houses 3 and 4. I will review it again in the call in a couple more hours, and I might say a few different things, but that's sort of the picture that gets painted here from a body talk perspective. What unites this is the element of earth. So stomach and spleen are held by the earth element, which is very much about finding a sense of stillness. We're actually in the perfect season for this right now. We're in the season where we are moving into not necessarily a high-paced, quick rhythm, according to Chinese medicine, not necessarily modern-day culture. This is why, as I was saying earlier, sometimes my scheduling falls a little bit apart at this time of the year. I purposely take August and early September slow to honor this season, this rhythm, because it's meant to be a time of stillness. It's meant to be a time where things get to be rested, where you get to find a sense of peacefulness, where you get to be with the nurturing essences of the earth, where all of your hard work throughout the summer has been tilled and toiled, and those vegetables can be harvested to nourish yourselves, not just during this season, but in the coming months. So the rest that we take here, the harvesting that we take here, is meant to support us in the coming months of the rest of the year until we land back here again. The stomach and the spleen help us to digest and to rest. So they're going to tie into that element of our nervous system to weave it into polyvagal theory just a little bit. The rest and digest system would be the part of our parasympathetic nervous system referred to as the ventral vagal root. I'm getting very technical very quickly there. But the idea is that it's what allows us to pause and to be able to digest all the different life events, emotions, things that have happened at this time frame if we're honoring the rhythm of this season. If we're honoring the rhythm of this season. Okay, I digress. I'm going to invite us to take a moment to breathe. As we switch gears here, getting comfy and cozy if you haven't already, making your way to a place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it. to drink it in. To receive it. Then I'm going to invite you on purpose to locate something, whether it be external or internal. See what feels right for you. Eyes open or eyes closed. You've got options with that too. And just beginning to scan your environment to locate anything in particular that feels pleasant to be with, or potentially simply neutral. And as your gaze lands there, I invite you to notice the qualities that you appreciate the most about it. See if you can find a few things. And the invitation is to savor those qualities, savor those things, and take purposeful time to pause and to be with what feels good here. And as you pause and drink that in, almost as if you could breathe that in your imagination, breathing that into your body. And notice where you feel it. And noticing again, the notice again, there may be a wide array of things happening. But again, what feels good here? See if you can pinpoint the particular components inside the body that relate to what was out there or in here that feel really juicy to be with, that feel pleasant or easeful. And as you drink that all in, savoring it, receiving it, see what it's like to begin to let the system connect to the beauty. I'm going to offer these words as you hang out here. Excuse me as I quickly blow my nose. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And thank you for the opportunity to gather here with my friends. We ask that this session today offer a way of meeting each and every person's intentions through themselves, their bodies, their ancestors, their families, their lineages. And we ask that today's session continue to offer support in rich ways with the insights, the awarenesses, the learnings. To live on in good ways for all of those that came before and all of those yet to come. And as we breathe into that, as we receive that, we offer it almost like a recycling program to mesh with and to cycle through to the earth, to the sky, to the water, to the fire. Which we give thanks for. As we find our place in this ecosystem, in this life, in this world, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And thank you for the opportunity for life itself. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. And as you let your system continue to be with that, Oh, that felt good in that research that you found before. Know that you can continue to touch it on that when and as desired throughout the session today. And to start off with, we're going to do a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. Should I plug in my headphones here? We're actually doing it for the muscle of the actual stomach itself. So the stomach is made up of various different tissues, but it has a musculature layer. And it's almost like there is a defensive guarding that's ready to reject, ready to spit out, ready to not take in things that are nourishing. And it's almost got like a hair trigger, a temper here that's just like right at the very edge of going like, I don't want to take in any more than I have to. And I won't be force fed anything. And I don't want to have to throw this up, but I will if I need to. And it's not just referring to food. Again, it's referring to life, emotions, experiences, all the things that we digest. However, it's relating to the active memories in which you were fed, in which you were either fed by breast or bottle as a little one. And when it felt like it was overwhelming, when it felt like it was far too much, when it felt like it was forcefully done, when it was at a point where it was overwhelming. And there's a tonality here of frustration, of not being heard, of not being seen, of being overlooked. So there's a quiet guarding at the stomach here. And as we begin to release that with cellular repair, we're also going to circulate all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major or minor, major and minor, pardon me, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids, to lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, to help with the nervous system and the immune system on all levels. We're going to also work with the circulation and the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. And then also work with hydration, helping the cells to drink in water and joy and releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. And for those of you who are with the roles or have had the roles of parenthood, working with that same energy of, you know, when your kids are just hitting that breaking point where there's like, I've almost had too much, I'm going to snap. I'm going to invite you to treat your stomach the same way that you would that little one who's like right at the edge of going like, I'm going to blow my top. I'm going to have a meltdown. I'm going to have a temper tantrum. I'm a bit more familiar with animals than I do have familiarity with little kids. I work with adults, inner children, which is a fair bit different. Yeah. And they could have that edginess too, where they hit that point of going like, I'm gonna lose my shit. Yeah. So whatever you might, however you might relate to that territory, I invite you to treat your stomach right now and your mind and your imagination as if it was that little one needing a little bit of comfort, a little bit of care, a little bit of resourcing. And almost like you could stroke its hair, hold its hand, and offer just a sense of being held, being noticed, being witnessed. And even offering it, if it's open to it, a little bit of touch. Along with your presence. Meaning physically taking your hand to your stomach and letting your system just really feel held in that. So bringing your hand right to there and letting your stomach receive support. The same time as just running one more cellular repair, and this is on the right jaw joint, the TMJ joint. Again, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And it's carrying the energy of thinking that you have to be quote unquote positive to the point of overriding what's actually here as a learned thing. So somewhere in the family lines or having it reinforced that you won't get your needs met if you're just going to act like that. If you're not going to have a smile on your face about that when you ask for that, then you're not going to get what you want. Or all the times where you had to play nice or be sweet in order to be heard. And as I say that, there's this level of repressed anger held throughout the right side of the neck musculature, all the way down to the inner lining of the esophagus, the throat. And there's the choked back expression of frustration, irritation, displeasure, out of a sense of, I won't actually get heard, I won't get seen, I won't get my needs met if I say it in a way that I actually want to. So I'm just going to suppress anything and I'm going to hold it in, meaning I've internalized my anger. And then we're working with the almost like a coating over top of that of fear. That's creating the repression. There's actually a fear of the anger. And relating to this, a fear of letting things go, of letting things fly, of letting things loose. And that might be showing up in a variety of ways, whether it's your exhale, your bowel movements, letting go of any muscular tension, letting go of old thought patterns that are no longer serving. It can show up in a wide array of potentialities here. And as we support the system in mating this fear, the same thing I'm going to suggest is that you bring in a hand to here, allowing your hand to support this area of your body, and allowing your hand to have a bit of a conversation with the right side of your neck and let it know, like, hey, you're actually okay as you are. I'm going to help you do the role that you're doing. And I'm here to support you. That might sound counterintuitive, but to literally support the holding back of the tension that's here, so your body doesn't have to hold on to it so much. And as your hand holds on to that and it takes it over, the suppression gets to be held for your body, so your body doesn't actually have to hold on to it. And that in turn seems to allow something to open up somewhere in the neck. Some of you might notice it more at the base, some of you might notice it at the top, where the skull joins the spine. It might even go into the inner ear. I'm certainly feeling it there in the top portion. And wherever you notice that, I'm going to invite you to bring a little love into that area too. Offer it your presence and your care to meet it in the same way that you would a little one. This is a theme today. And as we slow down to be with it, we're linking it to, in essence, what it is to be reparented, to be remothered, to be held in stillness, in peacefulness, which is the essence of the earth element, which is the essence of both houses, three and four. So that may be a bit of a theme in the upcoming couple of months, to slow down, to offer it care, to offer it tenderness, to offer it slowness and stillness, and to pause here amongst it all. And it's clearly cell repair day. We're doing one more cellular repair, and that's in through the social engagement part of your nervous system, which is like the part of you that says, like, oh, I recognize another human being, and this is how I'm going to interact with them to stay safe. And it's going into the inner ear on the right side. It's mostly, we don't usually divide this up in left and right, but this is body talk world where sometimes we break rules. And on the right side here, we've got the inner ear, we've got the eye, and we've got the tongue, and how it is you actively speak or express to people having been covered up. and how we hear people, how we see people, how we talk to them, all alike being covered up underneath the conditioning of this is what's right to do. Be polite, don't be rude, which definitely has its time and place. And sometimes we end up going too far with things, and it creates a sense of ignoring what needs to actually be said, be seen, be heard. And we don't allow ourselves to express our own hurts. We're just meeting that edge of that pattern that says, ignore your own needs, internalize everything, keep it inside of you. Don't show anybody your pain. Don't show anybody what's really going on. Mask the real you. And that comes at the cost of the real you not being able to be actually tended to, cared for, understood, held in presence, held in love. As we work with that, linking it through to, interestingly enough, the 12th house, which works with, in part, individuation. Individuation is a sense of finding our own self, finding our own self here. And we're actually linking this through to the higher selves of those who gave us the conditioned messages of this is how we're supposed to interact with everybody in order to socialize, in order to be received, in order to not rock the boat, in order to keep sweets, in order to be nice, in order to, you get the idea, all the different socially conditioned messages that are here. And amongst that, I see the planetary energy of the moon coming in. The moon is also maternal security, and it offers a cooler connection to that which is nourishing us. And it can do so in the dark. So it can do so in the dark of not having a preconceived idea of how things should be, that the ancestors passed on to your parents, have passed on to you. And we're connecting now to the higher selves of the ancestors that would have wanted the best for you amongst it all. So it's working with the unknown realm that they never tapped into, and being able to illuminate what was in the dark for them, and being able to illuminate within the dark for yourself. Very cool. Okay, we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And I just see the social engagement nervous system responding with, I will be seen, I'll be heard. I will be witness. It's almost like a little mantra on repeat. So if that's your mantra, feel free to repeat it to yourself. I will be seen. I'll be heard. And I'll be witness. Not from a place of like righteous anger, but from a place of loving presence. I will be seen. I'll be heard. And I'll be witness. There may be some layers of righteous anger to work through. It may bring up a lot of righteous anger. And know that the intention is that it's coming from the place of simplicity, of non-demandingness, and again, loving presence. And it may bring up a lot of other things in there. It may bring up a world of different ways, different experiences that have transpired through you. In your lifetime, in your ancestors' lifetime. As we say this layer by layer, it will keep working through the various different coverings that are in the way of that to be able to, over time, find your way through to that original seed in its purest form of I will be seen, I'll be heard, I'll be witnessed in ways that get to be useful. Doesn't take out the emotion, doesn't take out intensity, just finding ease amongst all of that as we navigate life. As we work within that, noticing all the other stuff that comes up in the way of that, I'm actually going to link that through to the sense of touch to be felt. This, pardon me, the organ of the heart to also be touched and felt. And then from there down to the digestive system to be digested, going like, hey, I can actually feel that now. And releasing any layers of shock or startle, any layers of like, nah, I don't think I want to do that in between. As we link it through to heart and then through to the digestive system, we're also working with the QL muscles on the low back, the quadratus lumborum muscles. They're not really like they're actually a little bit lower than the kidneys, but in this point of view, they're coming up through the consciousness of guarding the kidneys, guarding the ancestral lines. And the leg stance, both legs, the way they're holding themselves in their stance, is creating a particular adhesion or connective tissue through the low back. Almost a sense of like I'm digging in my heels around, I will be treated the way that I'm used to versus anything different happening. I'm just loosening that up. And as we do so, we're unhooking the belief system of don't rock the boat, being protective and held within the reptilian brain to supportively allow for some room, some space to be made here to renegotiate that instinct. Well, let me put it differently, to renegotiate the need for that instinct to be so high. Okay, cool. We're tabbing this part out here on its own. Breathing here, receiving here. Giving that three slow, deep breaths, letting that integrate here. Then we're heading specifically into house three. Now we're working with the natural planetary energy here, which is that of Mercury, with easeful communication, curiosity, in a way that sometimes can create divide or separation. And we're actually supporting it right now and linking it through to the left brain. And we're looking at those areas where it actually has created particular divides inherent within, I'm just finding the topic here. It's jumping around between health and wealth. I'll look at it from both angles. Okay. So it's continuing to jump around between the two. So I'm going to start with wealth and how it is we have thought patterns around people who are either better off than us or lesser off than us. And our thought patterns in terms of health, same thing. People who are richer in richer health or poorer health. And where it is we create the division around us versus them. So we create incidentally an othering between, well, thank goodness I'm not that person, or thank goodness I'm not this person, or thank goodness I don't have that to deal with, or I have it better than they do. I should be grateful for this. I don't have it as good as they do. I should be jealous for that, is the flip side of that. So if you were ever raised, and I don't know about you, but I was a 90s baby. I heard well, I was born in late 70s. So it's what I mean by that. So I feel like my, era was the 90s. And the lecture I heard a lot as a kid was, the starving kids in Africa, and I should be grateful for what I have. And the flip side of that is then I should be jealous of those who have more than I do. Yeah. Which is the unspoken message that, for the most part, isn't conscious. It's the subconscious variation of that. So as we work with both angles of that, there's a sense here of rejection of gratitude as a practice, or gratitude to the depth that maybe you already have a gratitude practice. There's a part of you that's being triggered at a subconscious level around it activating a certain level of jealousy, and there's a sense of like, why can't I just be grateful for what I have? And it keeps us stuck in the in this loop or in this cycle or in this circle. Yeah, so as we look at gratitude and jealousy, almost like polar opposites. If we can hold the tension of those two, there's actually a third thing in the center, which may not have a word or a concept, may just be a felt feeling. Maybe it's just simply easefulness. Or a sense of ease, or maybe it's a sense of all I can feel is the tension between gratitude and jealousy. And wherever you're at within that practice, know that that's sort of like the divide that the left brain is holding through those particular thought patterns around both health and wealth. So to support this. We're actually doing an emotional release of overwhelm from the left brain, left neck, left side of heart, left side of chest, and left arm. And the overwhelm is around other people's thought processes instead of being able to locate your own. And we need to enhance the Wei Qi. Wei Qi is a protective energy layer that's meant to surround our entire external body. The thing that weakens it is our belief systems, whether they're inherited or conditioned, or ones that we've garnered for ourselves, anywhere in between. And the idea here is that our Wei Qi has different frequencies. And this one is particularly to the psychic field, to other people's thought patterns. And we're simply repairing the Wei Qi around here. And we're actually linking it into what it is for your feminine essence to be protected, what it is to be held in respect by male figures, in particular your father, or potentially there was a lack there of one there. And we invite you to imagine, have some fun with me on this one, if you're open to it, to bring in. If you didn't have a sense of what that was, and many of us didn't, and it could be a real person that you know, or a fantastical cartoon figure, or an imaginary figure that you create here and now, a protector that protected or is capable of protecting your feminine essence and your ways of thinking through the feminine thought patterns. And not that thought patterns are overly feminine or masculine, not to go there with that, but more so, let me say this a bit more directly, that you, for those of you who are in the feminine essence, still have the capacity to be respected for how it is you think. And spoiler alert, we all have a feminine essence for the ways that we cultivate and collaborate and potentially even think out of the box, as is normal for again the feminine essence, to actually paradoxically break the logical patterns that are held at the left brain level. And recognizing that I'm also perhaps speaking a little paradoxically, because aren't we in the left brain? Yes, we are. And everything is holographic. So even within our left brain, which is overall more masculine, it's not that it's devoid of all things feminine. There's enough here within it. And it's like there's this tug of war within your left brain for being able to respect how it is the feminine would process information. And a lot of that stems from how it is you were parented, how it is you were raised by the male caregivers in your life, notably father figures. So as you reimagine bringing that in, it begins to soften the protective layers that are held around the left arm, chest, neck, head. It allows for the left brain to not have to work overtime. I can actually see the cells of the left brain. It's like they were swollen before, and they're actually just shrinking in a good way down to a regular healthy size, in a way that allows for circulation to happen between the cells, which is supposed to happen whenever the brain is at rest. And your brain is meant to be at rest for a lot of the day and most, if not all, of the night. So we're just supporting the brain and coming to deeper states of rest and relaxation, which can allow for that circulation to happen here between the nerve cells. And that too is that nourishment that happens, that flow between the nerve cells is actually also considered to be nourishing, therefore feminine. So there's another example of the feminine presence within the left side of the brain. And if that's easier to cotton on to than what I was saying earlier, feel free to run with that one. And as we support the system in finding this balance point here, we're linking it into the hypothalamus, which registers all of our balance points. It regulates things sort of like our heart rate, our breathing rate, our metabolism, our body temperature. And here we're helping it to find a more natural resting place for the brain. And then we're just simply running the permissions. Your thoughts matter here. And extending to that, both as you as an individual and from you as an individual to others around you. Your thoughts matter. And in this way, creating flow both towards you and in a way that you can also then offer to others reciprocally. As it's offered, you too can offer back. Your thoughts matter here. As we do so, taking out any knee-jerk dismissiveness in our particular ways of thinking about things and allowing for there to be more flow throughout the entire left brain. Which in turn creates less need to digest or break down your experiences, your life, your events, because there's more willingness to just be amongst whatever is happening without having to get your guard up, put your dukes up, intellectually defend something. Okay, beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. As I was tapping out, I just hear like I heard the words, like the lies that we tell ourselves, and that releasing through the work that we did here and creating a little bit more softness and being able to welcome a wide array of points of view in ways that aren't forced, but get to just unwind and unravel into a natural state of acceptance. And just noticing where that can happen, when that can happen, if that can happen. Odds are high it'll also not be happening in certain areas. In other areas, it might be quite easeful where it can begin to flow a little bit more. Okay, we're heading back to the 12th house. I know this is on houses 3 and 4, but we keep going to house 12. And house 12 is also about releasing, letting go, making space. We're linking that through to the left brain, as well as the left jaw and left tongue, around not needing to be at the ready to defend your point of view or your way of thinking about something. And that protection layer is ready to be set down. And then we're linking that through to the heart and then into the feet. Through the legs into the feet to find a way of connecting to ground, earth energy, the stillness, the peacefulness that can be amongst the earth, as well as the nourishment within the earth, this capacity to receive anything that's inflammatory and receive it in a way that it can compost it, recycle it, and grow. Nurture, create new things. And there's a permission statement here. This is interesting. The words are just simply, the cycle of life is welcome here. The cycle of life is welcome here. We're tapping that out here. Invitation to breathe. And to receive however feels right for you. Just giving that a round of breath. To integrate that, we're linking cortices to jaw, to heart, to feet, and all of that through to the navel. Consciousness of the womb space, but not at your level, at the individual level, but at the level of the archetypal level, the collective level, the level of that this is reflective of the space of gestation, and recognizing that you're in a space of gestation, you're in a space where things are developing, growing, in a space where things get to be held lovingly. In a space where you get to be deeply nourished. And what is it to imagine that you're in a space of gestation, even in your adult form as you walk through life? Noticing what that may offer you to be held as a little one. Breathing here, receiving here, we're going to tap this out. Song. It's about 4 minutes. It's actually called Mama by Kalila, invite you to take time to gestate and rest here, breathing here, touching in on that resource if desired. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you exactly as you are. Oh, Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day. And for those of you who are around in a couple hours, feel free to join me back here and we'll do another one of these at our regularly scheduled time. And thank you so much for the willingness to just juggle the sometimes miscommunication in that regard. So, mwah, mwah, mwah. Bye for now, y'all. If anybody needs any support, feel free to hang out afterwards, and happy to be here with you. Yeah, thanks for asking, Kathleen. Roxy came back. We were supposed to be putting her down, and she actually made a full turnaround that day. So we've now called her Lazarus. So she's decided it's not time yet. So who am I to argue?
Very good. That's great news.
Yeah, so she's doing well. She's actually like looking better than I've seen her look in a couple of years. So it's really nice to see whatever
Wow.
one is just moving on through.
And that was from your body talk.
I wouldn't necessarily attribute it to just that. No, we did a couple of things. So I ripped her off. I had an intuitive idea that we should just, she wasn't on very many meds, but I thought maybe we could just rip her off of everything that she was on and give her little body a break. She's a pretty sensitive little muffin. One of the more sensitive animals I've ever seen in my life, and the most sensitive the vet's ever seen. So the little amounts of medication she was on was creating some challenge in her liver and her kidney and everything else. So
Oh.
it was my intuitive read on it. And once she was off of the medication, her mental disorientation was completely resolved, and she was able to, well, make it through the night without requiring 8 hours of constant petting. So
Wow.
yeah, so she had a huge turnaround. We put her back on a couple of the essential meds because we had to, but yeah, she's doing really, really well amongst all of that, and we'll see what the coming days, weeks, spring. I know we've been on borrowed time with her for probably close to 8, 9 months, so
Great. And what age is she, Alison?
13 and a half. She would be 14 in October.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, please God.
Thank you.
She'll stay going for a while longer.
Yeah, as long as she's in a healthy quality of life, I'm happy to have her around and know that she's enjoying her life. That's all that matters to me. So I'm just really grateful that she is at a high quality stage still.
Yeah. Thank you, Alison. Thank you.
Hey, love. Blessings on the rest of your day.
Bye now.
Bye.